It's good to be back here. I'm sure many of you have returned to Jackson Hole. If you don't live here, you're back, I'm sure, because who doesn't want to be in Jackson Hole? It's one of the most beautiful places on earth. I first got to visit when I was in middle school on a family trip, and I remember thinking, wow, I have to come back here. And so I did the summer before my senior year in college. I came up here with a friend, and we got jobs at the soda fountain. So I was a soda jerk, summer of 2000. And I've been back on several occasions, vacation. I've led several Fishers of Men retreats here. I served as the chaplain here at the chapel in June of 2018. And I remember that trip so well. My son, who's 12 now, he was 5 years old at the time. And so he and I took the road trip up from Texas, from Kerrville, Texas. And then my wife and my daughter, they flew up and met us up here later in the week. But I remember, I have this memory, it's just etched in my brain forever. Because we were driving in my truck, and I remember we were coming up Highway 191, headed north, and we drove through Pinedale, and we started to get to the mountains, and I remember my son in his car seat from the back, he saw mountains for the first time, and he said, "Daddy, look, mountains." And I thought, of course, you know, I'd seen mountains plenty of times, but this was his first time to see mountains, snow-capped mountains. Look, Daddy, mountains. He was in sheer wonder, sheer awe. He was seeing mountains for the very first time. And whenever I see mountains, I often think how these mountains that we enjoy, we see, came into being, how they were made. An earthquake caused the mountains to rise. There was some sort of disruption in our world that led to something beautiful, the rising of the mountains. I think about my son's awe of those mountains. He might as well have said, "Look, Daddy, look at what's possible." I think that same sort of wonderment can be found in so many of the stories about Jesus, and this morning's gospel passage is no exception. And when I read the gospel for this morning, I was struck by how Luke begins this wonderful story. Jesus and his disciples, they had sailed across the Sea of Galilee to Gentile country. They had been in Galilee, that was their hometown, that was familiar to them, but then they sailed to a country that was not their own. It was foreign territory. It was the land directly opposite Galilee, Luke says, opposite in more ways than one. Then Luke tells us what happened next. As Jesus stepped out onto the land, a madman from town met him. This was the first person that Jesus met in this foreign country. I think the moment Jesus stepped out onto the land, that was the beginning of what would become this holy moment. Jesus saw what was possible in this man. And I love how Luke, the gospel writer, he gives so many details about Jesus' journeys and every one of his stories. And he says, as Jesus stepped out onto the land. And I think what Luke's doing with every detail, he's telling something about the big story. The little details are telling something about what started when the God we know was born in human flesh, stepped out onto this land we call earth. God had left what was comfortable in heaven, and he came down from heaven and stepped onto this land. This is how it all started. He stepped onto this land, our home, this earth, because he knew all along what was possible with us. Just as these mountains were raised from an earthquake, Jesus came to bring us back to life, to raise us from the dead. This man, this madman, he came to Jesus, but this man, I think, he wasn't really alive. He wasn't the true self he was born to be. Jesus could see that in the man. He could see deep down, deeper than we can see with our eyes. He could see the beauty behind all the demons, all the stuff that had made him mad. He saw what needed to bring this man to life, what was possible. But this madman had been driven out from his town, and he was alone. He was living amongst the dead. That's no way to live, is it? So he wasn't really alive yet. And then Jesus stepped on to the land, and he could see what was possible with this man. And that's how Jesus works. He gets into this place that's dark for many, out in a cemetery is where he went. And the man speaks to him first, or really screamed, howled. And Jesus doesn't hush the man. He doesn't say, stop acting like this. He's with him. He engages with the man. He'll stick with him. And finally, after all this convulsing and howling, Jesus speaks and he asks a question. He says, what's your name? What's your name? Names mean something. They always have. It's how we're identified. It's how we know who we really are. It's how we can let others know who we are. And the man responds to Jesus' question saying, Mob. My name is Mob. In other translations, the man says, my name is Legion, because he had so many demons afflicting him. He says, my name is Ma, but that's not really a name, is it? The only name the man can give for himself is the name associated with his affliction, but that's not really a name, and that's not really who this man is. As I read this passage earlier in the week, I had to wonder more about the man. Maybe you can too. You know, where was he born? Who were his parents? What name did they really give him? Wherever he came from, wouldn't he have had somebody give him a name other than Mob? You know, I have kids. My daughter's 15, and so, you know, the summers don't only include vacation or camp, but they also include reading, summer reading. And so she's reading Lord of the Flies right now, and it reminded me of the book and one particular character, Piggy. You might remember in the book, Piggy and Ralph are two of the characters early on in the book who meet one another on this island after they had crashed in the plane, and Ralph volunteers his name very easily and quickly, doesn't really ask Piggy for his name, but Piggy says, I don't want to be called the name that the kids called me at school. Any other name. You can call me by any other name. And eventually it's revealed that the name he doesn't want to be called by is Piggy. And I had to remember, do we ever learn his real name? And we don't. And I think, as that book is so much about the darkness we can find in the human heart, one of the greatest tragedies perhaps in that book is that we never really learn Piggy's true name. He's never given that true name. So this man, all he can come up with is the name Mob. It was the only name that he could give, but it wasn't his real name. This man had lost his identity, and then Jesus saw the man before him. He could see deeper, beyond the demons, deeper to who he was, created in the image of God. He could see what was possible with this man. He could see this man and restore him to life. The earthquake that had upset this man's life could and would be turned into something beautiful. He would raise him to life. This is why he stepped onto the land. He knew how precious this man's life was worth. His soul was worth more than a large herd of pigs. He'd saved one life, and yes, it might cost something because God's economy is different than ours. So like so many of us who have had an intense and positive experience with Jesus, the man wanted to stay with Jesus, right? He had been restored to life. He had been given his identity back. And so he wanted to stay with him. But Jesus said, no, you need to go home. You need to show everybody at home who you really are. I can imagine the man walking back into his hometown, and people probably began to whisper, is that who we think it is? And I'm sure some remembered him by his true name. They probably thought, is that Bob? It can't be. But it was. The man returned home, and people called him by the name he had always had in his hometown, the name he was given, but he was different. He returned having experienced the grace and love of Jesus Christ, and Bob could tell them all about it. The same is true for us. Most of us, if you're like me, you can't stay up here in the mountains, but we'll go home, and when we go home with the name that was given to us, we can return different, because we too have been touched by the grace, love, beauty of our God. A couple years ago, I was having this conversation with one of my parishioners back home in Kerrville. Her name's Carrie. And Carrie, she approached me one day about offering a very significant gift to our church, and it came unexpected. And so I was sitting down and I was talking with my friend Carrie, and I had to ask, Carrie, this is really generous of you. What compelled you to want to do this, make this gift? And she said, well, Father Bert, I was baptized in this church, but then I lost my way and things got really bad for me. Some really bad things got a hold of me. And I was admitted into the state hospital. Then one day, unexpectedly, someone from St. Peter's came to visit me, and this person brought me Holy Communion. They brought me the body and blood of Christ. And I have to tell you, Father Bert, it was the first sane moment I had experienced in years. And I think it saved my life. Imagine that. And then Carrie, the woman baptized by that same name, she returned to her home parish, back to our church, to tell me and others about all the good the Lord did in her. Her story can be our story. It's true for us. We too have come face to face with the one who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature. So go home. Go home and tell everything God did in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand.